Well, just looking back over this past week, it's a continuation of this story that the data in places like the US have been firming somewhat in the early months of this year. And as a result of that, inflation, which has been coming down from its peak in the middle part of last year, that progress is slowing and it's not quite as pronounced as expected. So the net result is it's pushing back to expectations about what the Federal Reserve has to do, for example, in the United States. And the view is that they're going to have to do more. And the risk is that although currently they're looking at another two or three interest rate hikes, they're getting us up to 5.3%. They may have to take the Fed funds rate there even higher. Just looking at the data, which is reinforcing that view over the course of this past week, most of it was on the strong side of expectations. So right at the beginning of the week, we had both the old manufacturing PMI and services PMI. We'll get the ISM ones through this week. But the old style manufacturing PMI and services PMI, both of them lifted. So the manufacturing PMI lifted from 46.9 to 47.8. Goods are basically the softest part of the economy. People have been moving towards services. And the services sector PMI lifted from 46.8 back above 50. It jumped to 50.5. So that, if anything, is a strong indication that you're getting begin to get a rise again running through spending on services in the US. We had the FOMC minutes of their last meeting, and broadly they were hawkish, indicating that they still have work to do to get on top of the inflation rate, which whilst it's coming down, is not coming down enough and sustainably enough as they look ahead. And the data later in the week tended to reinforce that fear. So we had initial jobless claims the most recent week. They're still sticking below 200,000. And that's an indication that we should expect some pretty strong non-farm payroll reports ahead. We had a very strong one going back last month. And there's no sign that there's any real easing running through the US labour market. We had a revision to Q4 GDP, which is almost irrelevant now because it's so far back. It was revised down a touch, still up 2.7% annualized compared with 2.9% for the earlier estimates. So some tweaking in one or two of the contributions running through US GDP. But now looking into Q1, people are expecting to hold at that level, if not better, with some of the data that's coming through. And on that data that's coming through, we had January personal income, personal spending numbers towards the end of the week. Personal income, it wasn't quite as strong as expected, but it was still up 0.6% month on month, and the previous month was revised up to 0.3%. But personal spending was extremely strong. It lifted by 1.8% month on month. It was expected to lift by 1.3% because we'd seen a very strong retail sales number a bit earlier. But 1.8%, very, very strong indeed. And with it, the key number of the week probably was the measure of inflation, which the Federal Reserve tends to focus on, which is the personal consumption expenditure deflator, and particularly the core personal consumption expenditure deflator. This one showed a lift of 0.6% month on month. It was expected to show a lift of 0.4%. The previous month was revised up as well. And alarmingly, the annual rate, rather than continue to come down, has actually lifted a bit to 4.7% from 4.6%. going back the month before. The headline personal consumption expenditure deflation actually was at 5.4%, so actually quite a strong reading. The reason the Fed focuses on this particular price indicator is that it really is a current measure of what people are spending their money on, the prices they're paying. Unlike the CPI, which is only reweighted every now and then, this one moves with spending. So as people see expensive items, they're moving to cheaper substitutes. This picks up all that very current change in inflation, and it's still way too high. And so that one started to do some damage in terms of expectations towards the end of the week. And it was reinforced by just some of the leading indicators that came out on Friday as well. So we had the February Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. This is the last part of that survey. We get an early reading where you get about two-thirds of the responses coming through. And that one was showing a lift to 66.4. That's not a strong reading, but it has been lifting over the last few months. It was below 60 going back a couple of months ago. They expected there'd be little change with the final responses, but with the final responses, lifted further to 67. So that suggests that it was getting more optimistic through the survey as it went into its later stages. And we also had January new home sales, and back-to-back strong readings here. We had another rise of 7.2%, way above expectations of 0.5%. And that was after the previous month was revised up to over 7% as well. So it's not that the US economy is showing some signs of moderating and slowing with the interest rate hikes. If anything, it's getting stronger into the first part, with inflation showing some signs of getting sticky. So this is where you're starting to get this concern that the Fed's still got a fair bit of work to do. And in some quarters, there's talk now that the federal funds rate may need to go above 6% to get on top of the pressures which are building in the US. And of course, that, if anything, whilst things are better in the near term, that heightens the risk of a recession down the track. So it's sort of that horrible mix of, yes, we're happy about where things are at the moment. It looks better for the economy, but because of what the Fed's got to do, it could make things worse down the track. And then into this week, we won't get a lot of key readings, but we will get the ISM readings of the manufacturing PMI and the non-manufacturing PMI. They come out on Wednesday and Friday, respectively. And what we're expecting to see there is some improvement, really, for the manufacturing PMI. It might lift to 48 from 47.4, the market thinks. We may get a little bit of a lift, or the non-manufacturing PMI was already pretty strong the month before, so it was at 55.2. Market thinks 54.5. There's a risk that that could actually hold its previous month's level, so it could be quite strong. We get consumer confidence coming up earlier in the month. That's the conference board consumer confidence measure for the month of February. That was at 107.1, going back the month before, expected to lift perhaps to 108.5. And we get pending home sales coming out. This is right at the very leading edge of the housing market. This was already lifting in December. We had a 2.5% lift. The market expects another 1% lift. So whilst there's not a lot of key data coming out this week, it's still likely to put some pressure back in people's expectations to what the Fed still has to do heading forward. That's those expectations of higher interest rates, which for the time being are just crawling sentiment a bit in risk assets in the US, where it's not so much focusing on the current strength, but the increasing risk that the US will go to recession later on. Moving to China, there wasn't a lot of movement there last week. We did have the People's Bank of China meeting. They really haven't been touching their interest rates for some time. They're still at 3.85%. And with China, I think people are watching for the re-engagement with the rest of the world from China. This week, though, we will get some economic data. It starts on Wednesday and goes through to Friday. It's all purchasing manager reports. And these have lifted a little with some of the policy changes in China of late. So we get on Wednesday the February Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index and also the Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. The manufacturing PMI got up to 50.1 going back to January. The non-manufacturing PMI was up to 54.4. People are being allowed out, so they're spending much like the rest of the world. They're starting to get stuck into services, travel in particular. So we're starting to see that one lifting. The cakes in surveys, the more reliable ones, they come out later in the week. The cakes in manufacturing PMI was at 49.2. That will probably lift closer to 50. And the February cakes in services sector PMI was at 52.9, probably going to beat that. Probably for the most recent months of China, at this stage still an improving economy on some of the data that's coming through, but not a lot of it through the course of this week. Then we move to Australia, and it's quite interesting here because whereas you're getting more pressure for the Federal Reserve do more with interest rates in the near term. If anything, the data is leaning a little bit the other way for Australia. We had the RBA minutes came out last week, and they were still pretty hawkish, you know, talking about the need to raise interest rates more. But we had the Q4 wage price index came out, and it was shy of expectations. So expectations, and this is for the market and the Reserve Bank, were that it should have risen around about 1%, 3.5% year on year. It rose by 0.8%, 3.3%. That 3.3%, yes, is up from 3.1, but this is elevating quite slowly. And it goes together with the weaker labour force readings that we've seen the last couple of months too. So it's, in some ways it's not surprising, because we are a much, much more interest rate sensitive, or official interest rate sensitive economy than the US. You know, we have a predominantly variable rate loan market where we do have fixed rates, so very short-term fixed rates, and many of them are rolling over back into variable rates as we go through the course of this year. But there's some other factors at play here too. Something which is very different here relative to the US now, in the US, you've got real income growth. Whilst you've still got high inflation, income, nominal income, has been growing faster than the inflation rate. So you've actually got some real income growth and real wage growth running through the US on recent quite high inflation readings. You certainly haven't got that in Australia. The wage price index running at 3.3 goes against the most recent CPI reading, for example, which is up there at 7.8. So you've got, if anything, a very large real wage reduction on historic inflation readings here. So you've not only got the pressure coming through from the Reserve Bank with the interest rate rises, but you've also got real incomes, which are fairly constraining here in some senses, holding things back a bit. So this is a real question mark, because the Reserve Bank's very, very hawkish of late. There's an issue if, arguably, what we've got now with the interest rate structure is enough to see our economy slow a fair bit through the course of this year. If they keep pushing up interest rates the way they are, there's a much higher probability that Australia starts to slide into recession. We really are between a bit of a rock and a hard place here. The Reserve Bank's watching what's happening overseas. They're still worried about the past stickiness of inflation. And that's still pressuring them towards interest rates further. We're probably past the point where they can lift interest rates without materially lifting the risk of recession further down the track. And adding to that, across the Tasman, the RBNZ last week lifted interest rates by 50 basis points to 4.75%. So here's the other point. The RBA is a long way short of the interest rate structures in places like New Zealand. The UK these days, where they're up to 4% for their base rate, and the US, where it's at 4.75%. We had some other data too came out last week. We had Q4 construction work done. That fell by 0.4% for the most recent quarter. And that was mostly to do with residential, non-residential construction. Engineering work actually lifted in the quarter, but it was back from a 2.2% gain going back into Q3. We also had the fourth quarter private capital expenditure. This is one of the firmer bits of the economy, and it lifted more than expected. So private capex was up 2.2% for the quarter in real terms. It was expected to lift 1.3%, and the previous quarter was revised from minus 0.6% to plus 0.6%. So if anything, the capex part of the story in Australia is actually going quite strongly in adding to domestic demand as when we get to our GDP, which is coming out this week. This week, we've got lots of contributions to GDP before it comes out on Wednesday. This is a very rare quarter, too, where we'll actually get the quarterly GDP coming out ahead of a Reserve Bank policy meeting. Typically, the Reserve Bank policy meeting comes just a day before the quarterly GDP release. Because of the calendar and because Q4 GDP is coming out on the 1st of March this year, and the first Tuesday is the week after that, at least the Reserve Bank will have the advantage of seeing the Q4 GDP read when it comes out for their for the board meeting, which is not this week, it's the following week. But ahead of the Q4 GDP reading, we get things like business inventories and company profits, making a neutralish contribution probably to Q4 GDP. On Tuesday, we have the Q4 current account and Q4 net export contribution. Net exports are going to make a pretty strong contribution to GDP this time around. We had a very big lift running through the merchandise trade surplus all the way through the quarter relative to the previous quarter. So net exports are probably going to contribute about 1.3 percentage points to GDP growth in the quarter after detracting 0.2 percentage points the quarter before. Also on Tuesday, we'll get the latest retail sales numbers for the month of January. Remember that they fell by 3.9% going back to December. If anything, there should be a bit of a bounce off that. The market expects there'll be about a 1.2% lift for retail sales for the month of January. Then we get Q4 GDP comes out on Wednesday. And what that's expected to show, the market's looking for a 0.9% gain quarter on quarter. That compares to the 0.6% gain going back to Q3. That would still lead to a year-on-year fall in GDP because of the relative changes this time last year. And so we would see the annual rate of real GDP growth coming back from 5.9% down to 2.8%. If there's relatively more strength running through these numbers than that, it'll probably keep the RBA fairly hawkish. But remembering this is pretty old data when it comes out. This is Q4. It's Q4 and Q4, we're getting into the first part of March when these numbers come out. On Thursday, we'll get January home building approvals coming out. They had a quirky lift of 18.5%. If anything, they're going to fall a little bit for the most recent reading. But the issue we have here in Australia at the moment is that relatively, even though our cash rate is at 3.35%, arguably that's a lot tighter cash rate than the 4.75% Fed funds rate in the US because of the very high household debt here. We haven't got real income growth. In fact, real income is probably falling at its greatest level ever, whereas in the US real income's actually growing. So the relative supports for growth further down the track are a lot less here. And the interest rate increases here are going to hurt because of our largely variable rate market. Moving to Europe, and we had a few small readings, really leading indicators. So we had things like the manufacturing PMI that lifted to 49.3 from 48.8. The services sector PMI got to 51 from 50.8. So some strength running through there. Europe, if anything, is experiencing rather better economic growth at present. This week, we have some pretty important numbers for Europe, though. We've got their February CPI coming out, the preliminary CPI. And whilst it's coming back, it's still not coming back a lot. So we expect that in February, the CPI will be 8.2%. from 8.6% the month before. The core CPI coming back to 6.9 from 7.1. There's a risk that it might not even show that sort of improvement. So still leaving that pressure point there for the ECB to continue lifting rates as well. We'll also get their producer prices coming out later in the week. And they're still running at over 20% year on year. So the pipeline, and it won't be any less than 20% year on year for the most recent reading. So you've still got a lot of pipeline pressure running through as far as inflation is concerned. So looking around the world, it's an issue that good news is backhanded bad news. We're getting these signs that economies are proving to be somewhat resilient. Australia is a little bit of an exception to that. That's putting pressure back to central banks to do more rather than less. And that's starting to become a focal point again for risk assets. And bond yields too, still trying to mark up to find their appropriate peak. before eventually we'll get a huge rally running through bonds at some point in the not too distant future. And that basically comes down to the fact that bonds always rally when you have recessions, and that's still very, very much the key outlook looking to the late part of this year into the first part of 2024.